Hello, thank you for visiting Crossroad International Church, a Christian community in the heart of Kuwait consisting of believers from dozens of countries around the world. Our vision is to see all people in Kuwait know, believe, and model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. We hope you're blessed by the message this morning.
So we are talking about peace. This is Advent. Advent just means coming, right? So the Advent season is when we celebrate Jesus coming to earth, right? So these candles have their history hundreds of years old. These are some of the major themes. We're talking about peace this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So this is another famous passage of scripture describing the birth of Jesus. And we want to talk about what is peace, right? We hear this word all the time. People want peace, especially in this region of the world. So, of course, peace does mean an absence of conflict, of war, of the emotional tolls that war brings, physical, economic, and social. And it also means an absence of conflict in your own life, right? You and I don't want to be thinking of being angry at people in our spheres of influence, right? But we do. If you have a family, which we all do, you've been angry, you've had conflict, you've had fights. So it definitely means an absence of that. I think it means more than that. I think it means being in harmony, right? Yes, you can have absence of conflict with peace. I think it means a positive harmony with the world, with your job, with your community, with your location, with your relationships, your wife, your children, your parents, your siblings, and with God. Feeling loved unconditionally by Him. So here's my big idea, that Christ empowers us to receive, cultivate, and spread peace in our lives. So first, we receive peace. Peace is something that Jesus gives, and it's the most important peace that we have, right? The angels appeared to the shepherds, right? And shepherds were not, like, we think of shepherds as part of the nativity scene, but in that society, they were the lowest on the totem pole of life. They were like the street sweepers we see in Kuwait. They were at the bottom of the totem pole of society. They were not like high up royalty. This is nothing like the Magi or other people in high influence among the Jews. They were the lowest, obscure. And they were the first people told that Jesus is good, the one who's going to bring peace. And we see this multitude of the heavenly hosts. These are spiritual, angelic beings in physical form. They were able to see them, right? And there were tens of thousands of them, right? A multitude. So you see this moment where the veil is pulled back, right? We see the physical world, right? And we're very good at identifying. There's a spiritual world behind it. And the veil is just, for just this moment in time, pulled back, and they were able to see the spiritual world with multitudes of heavenly beings crying out and singing and rejoicing. On earth, peace and goodwill towards men. That is a traditional, right? Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. That's the traditional. But the first one, the one that it's in the scriptures, if you have the same translation, is a little more accurate, because it's not talking about a general peace for all people, but it's talking about peace to those who please God, with whom he is pleased. It doesn't mean just a general peace towards humanity. Yes, he brings that, but he is specifically talking to those who please him. Like a peace offering to his people and to all people. So the question that it asks is, how do we please him? If you want a peace with God, you must please him. So how do we please him? We believe and we trust in Jesus. This is the whole point of the appearance here, showing that Jesus is the person that we must know and believe in. If we cannot do that, there is no peace with God. And the shepherds, they do this at whatever level of faith, but we see in the text that they believe and they trust in Jesus. They are worshiping. It says they're glorifying and praising God. Right? So clearly their encounter with Jesus changed them in some fundamental way to love and to praise and to value and to honor God through this baby Jesus. Right? And you see in also in Matthew's gospel, the Magi, the three wise men, the Eastern mystic Jewish people, they came, saw the star, gave him the gifts, and they worshiped him as God. Right? As the Lord. You don't worship, the only person you should worship is God. And they understood, like the shepherds, who Jesus was. Maybe God revealed that to them, and they knew who he was. So it's when you please Jesus by worshiping him, you please him by loving his son. Right? For in my own life, right? I want peace with my wife, and that's a great thing, because otherwise I'm miserable and the whole family's miserable. But to have that peace with her, it's not just an intellectual understanding thing, but it's like, I need to please her, do the things that make her happy, and that generates peace, right? When I put her first, when I value her, when I honor her, when I respect her, that is when there's more peace in the household instead of me trying to win an argument or whatever it is I'm trying to get. So if we want peace with God, we must worship, believe, and trust him, because God sent Jesus for reconciliation with his people. Our default position was enmity with God, right? Because we were born into sin and we've all lived a lifestyle displeasing him, wanting our own way instead of God's way. So that's the starting position where we are. We're at war with God, a war that we are going to lose. Because none of us were born Christians. We're all born separated from God, right? Because we have a sin nature, right? We were in the womb in sin, and we came out of the womb, and we started our life of actually rebelling against our parents, our family, our job. And ultimately, that sin is always against God first. We want our own way, separated from him. But God could send us to hell for that right there, right? Because that's what God said to Adam, right? The day you eat of this tree of good and evil and you disobey me, you will surely die. That was a physical and a spiritual death. But God, in his mercy, made a way through Jesus. He came to earth as the Lord, right? He lived among us. He loved and understood us, even in our weakness and our failings and our brokenness. And he died on a cross, not just because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but he chose, right? It says in John that he has authority to lay down his life and to raise it up again. We see that he lays down his life for us because he never sinned. He was perfect. Perfect in thought, in word, and in action. He never sinned. He always did what the Father wanted him to do. But he took on my sin and your sin. All the things that we've done. all the things, all the bad thoughts we've had, the bad actions, the people we've hurt, the revenge we've taken on people, those who have hurt us, right? Even my own standards, I fail, right? So how much higher are God's standards than mine? So we've all done this. But he was punished for my sins. He took my sins on the cross. He suffered and he died for them to take the punishment that I deserve. He endured hell on the cross so I wouldn't have to endure and you wouldn't have to endure hell forever if you believe in him. God loves you, but he hates the sin in you. And he loved you enough to die to make a way for us to have peace with God. And it's not always lead to God. The only way to have peace with God is through his son, Jesus. If you get nothing else from this Advent series, that's the most important thing. There is not multiple ways. If you try to live a good life and your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, no, God requires perfection. And I only know one guy who is ever perfect. His name is Jesus. So if you believe in him, he paid the ultimate price. So anyone who believes can have peace with God. It's the most important piece. It's part of, and that was God's original plan, was to create a people who would be in harmony and balance and love with God and with each other and with the earth. And it's fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled, partially fulfilled now, but will be fulfilled eternally in heaven with him forever. So that's how we need to receive God's peace. If you can't receive God's peace through Jesus, that it stops there, right? You can pretend to have peace, but with your heart and God is the first peace that you need to have. Secondly, we need to cultivate peace in our lives, right? Peace with God is final. When you trust in Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you believe that he died for you and rose again on the third day, conquering sin and death forever, is finished. But it's not yet fully realized in our lives, right? Going back to the marriage analogy, when you say, I do, right? So when you're standing before those people and you're dressed nicely, you have a great party, that's done right there. But you have a whole lifetime to live it out through the ups and downs, right? And if you don't live it out, it doesn't mean anything. Say with Jesus, right? In order to increase peace, we need to follow Jesus actively in our lives. Right? Jesus himself is peace. And if we follow Jesus, we follow peace. We get closer to peace. This is what it says in Isaiah 6 and 7, another great Christmas passage we should read all year. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And then he says, "Of the increase of his governance and of peace, there will be no end," which is written 700 years before the birth of Jesus. So it means we need to follow Jesus actively in our lives. It's not just a one-time decision. If you are a believer, you are living to follow him and to do what he says. So that means reading the word of God, right? It's clear that Jesus' clearest testimony is in the gospel in the New Testament. But he also, there's many points like Isaiah pointing to Jesus ahead. So as we read the Bible, we ask him for peace in our heart and he will give that as we follow him. Right, if this is, I'm so glad you're here, I love Friday church, but if this is the only time you're receiving from the Word of God, it's inadequate, that's not enough. It's necessary, but it's not sufficient. You need to be reading the Bible in some form, even 5 minutes, every day. Reading, praying, even just 5 minutes of reading, 5 minutes of praying. You need something to get spiritual feed from God so you can follow him and you can have peace in your life. How can we know someone if we don't spend any time with him? We cannot. And how much harder is it to follow God if we don't physically see him? So we must spend time in the Word and in prayer and in seeking him. And being with him. We must spend that time with him. It's not a passive, it's an active thing that we do. We have to make decisions in our lives, say, I'm going to spend time reading the Bible and praying. It does not happen by accident, right? For all of us, including myself. If I don't plan ahead and think, okay, I'm going to heat up and I'm going to make sure I read this before I do anything else in my day. Otherwise, you won't get it. It doesn't just magically happen and flow through you. And finally, we need to spread peace with others. Here's what John 14 says. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The world gives a false peace. It's a lie, because it's absence of trouble, and we all want that. We don't want to rock the boat, ruffle any feathers, whatever analogy you want to use. We want to keep things easy. But that is not true peace. It's a lie. Jesus' peace is better than any earthly harmony that we have, because it gives us eternal peace with God and within ourselves, whether or not we have conflict on the outside. And because of this, God calls us not just to be keepers of the peace, but peacemakers. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So just like Jesus made the first move to so we can receive peace, Jesus made all the moves. All we have to do is believe. We also, if there's conflict in your life with people around you and within you, if there's active conflict, you need to make every effort as a believer to seek peace with them. Now, in some cases, they don't want it. They're not interested, and you just move on with your life. But if you are not making the effort, if you are in a world of conflict with people around you, and you have not sought peace with them, if you're not trying to make peace with them, then you're not following Jesus. Right? Sometimes you need to have those hard conversations with family members, or asking for forgiveness, or extending forgiveness. It's even harder than asking for forgiveness. We all need to do this. We need to ask Jesus for help to do this. Because the world is looking at us and they're saying, how are they living differently than everyone else? And I think sometimes people see that we're not living very differently at all. We're living just like the world. But if we try to make peace with others and love them and care for them, I think they will see something different. So, Ben, if you can come up as we conclude. People will see our efforts and ask us about Jesus, and we can spread the news that way. Now, of course, there's always going to be conflicts, right? Jesus also said, I don't come to bring peace but a sword, right? You'll have conflict among your own family. And if that conflict is because of Jesus, there's not a lot you can do, right? Jesus said it'll be 5 against 3, 3 against 5, son-in-law against daughter-in-law. I bet there's a lot of situations which you think is because I'm a Christian, but maybe it's just because you're a jerk, right? You're not a kind person sometimes. The fall beater is here, okay? You need to resolve that. So the angels announced peace with the birth of Jesus. We cannot have this peace until we receive it from God by repenting of our sins and calling on Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. Once we have this peace, we continue to follow Jesus to actively bring peace into our lives by reading his word, by praying, and by seeking him. Finally, we are called to be peacemakers by, with people in our lives, making that first move, praying for peace, and sharing the good news of Jesus' kingdom. Let's stand up on our feet and I'll pray. We'll do a final song. God, I thank you so much that you bring true peace. I pray for those who are who do not yet know you, that you would speak to them right now. They would see you as a Prince of Peace who can take away, who does take away the sin of the world through your death on the cross and your resurrection. Because you are the God of life and of peace and of joy. You are the Prince of Peace this morning. Give us that peace in our hearts. And for those of us who are believers who still maybe have residual conflict, okay, they would continue to follow you. And they would seek you. They would read passages about the peace that you offer, because the Bible is full of passages about peace. Peace with you, peace within ourselves. And I pray that you'd help us to make us peacemakers in this body, in this community in Kuwait, that we find a way to make peace in every situation that requires it. Thank you for this people. Thank you for my family. I pray that you bless the rest of this service. We ask for this in your great name, King Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Crossroads International Church. If you have questions about how to pray for, give, or get involved with CIC, visit www.cickuwait.com or check out our Instagram and Facebook account at CICQA. Have a blessed day.